Welcome to today's podcast with Missouri Press Association Executive Director Doug Cruz. In this program, Doug visits with Peter Wagner, publisher of the Northwest Iowa Review and president of Iowa Information Incorporated, a regional publishing firm. Peter serves as president of the National Newspaper Association Foundation Board of Directors. He also is a consultant for Creative House Print Media, providing training programs on all aspects of publishing across the United States and Canada. Today, Peter joins Doug in Kansas City, Missouri, during the 143rd Annual Missouri Press Association Convention for a conversation about convergence in community news. Peter maintains that even today, community journalism is still about delivery.
Today we have Peter Wagner with us. Peter is a Northwest Iowa publisher. He's been in the business for 4 decades, maybe. I tell you, I've known Peter for a long time, and he's a very good friend in the newspaper business, a great friend to the newspaper business. And he has one of the best weekly newspapers in the country, the Northwest Iowa Review. And we're pleased to have him here in Kansas City. But Peter, tell us about what's going on in Northwest Iowa, and tell us about some of your ideas about convergence, how to deliver in the future weekly newspapers, and just what's our future.
Well, thanks, Doug. I'm pleased to be here, and it's always fun to talk about the industry. There's so many things that are happening that are so exciting, and obviously the Chicken Little myth that the world is coming to an end, that the sky is falling, is absolutely untrue. Just because a few of the larger publications across the nation have murked up the vision of who we are by being over-greedy or over-expanded in what they give away for free doesn't mean that we have to have that same problem. I think the future for the community press is probably as good as it's ever been, and I think that when we get through this recession, we're going to see a real bang-up return on advertising dollars as people realize we're still the only single media that covers the entire community. But there is a future for us, and that future for us is in the area of convergence. The first time I ever heard this word convergence was when I was asked to be the speaker, the keynote speaker for the Indiana Press Association about 10 years ago. And about 3 days before I was supposed to show up to speak at the convention, they said, well, we're going to move you from being the keynoter to being one of the convention speakers because the publisher of the Indianapolis Star is going to come, and she's volunteered to be our keynoter, and we want to see what she has to say. Well, she came to share the new Gannett idea of convergence. Convergence at that point was bringing together the radio station, the television station, and the newspaper all into one big circular newsroom so they could converge all of their knowledge of what was happening within the community into all the various products on an ongoing basis. But what really happened was they then also rolled over and started a website situation and tried to go on web with the information more quickly than they even got it into the paper. And that was what convergence was originally. Well, then our smaller community newspapers were not able to do that necessarily to that level, but I do think convergence has a phenomenal future for us if we just stop to realize how we became successful. We became successful back in the very, very early days of print journalism, at least across the Midwest, because A, we were able to go out, find the stories, make credible gathering information about those stories, and put those stories together in a way that when the person got them from us, they knew they could believe what they read, and they knew they were getting the details behind the details, the story behind the story. If we would take and look upon the fact that then we delivered that news in a printed form and say, how can we deliver the news in the new electronic age that we're in, I think we can take the electronic industry and make it totally ours. Nobody in any one of our communities, no matter what size it is, has the news staff, the resources, the contacts that we have within our own newsrooms. And so nobody else, no matter who they are, radio station, independent blogger, whoever it is, can possibly put together a bit of information about anything that's happening in the town better than we can. 2 years ago, my son Jay, who we lost unfortunately this past year, my son Jay made an application to the Knight Ridder Foundation for one of their foundation grants. In fact, they contacted Jay and said, we're looking for smaller papers of your size to go after these grants. And what Jay did is he asked them for enough money, $400 and some thousand dollars, so that we could make the entire town of Sheldon wireless. And the idea was that then you could sit down and you could have a Sheldon Wiki on our site where you could go and find local news stories about organizations, individuals, written by those people and corrected by other people. They also would pass out, we would own and pass out X number of computers so that you could go to your son's graduation and you could blog from the graduation through our site what was happening every moment of that graduation. Or you could go to the city council meeting and do the same thing. Or you could go to the kids' junior volleyball game, which we don't carry in the paper, and just report on that game constantly as it was going on. We're going to have all kinds of bloggers using that site. And we'd also use it as a posting site for some of the news that we ourselves know. But we got 100, there were 1,700 applications. We got cut down to the first 900. We got cut down to the next 70. We got cut down to the last 7. And on the last 7, they said, well, you don't have enough internet experience in Sheldon to make this work. So they liked the idea, but we didn't have the experience to be able to pull it off. But I think that gives us a sense of where the future of our business really is. I see us, I think the most important thing, well, let me put it this way. I drive a Mercedes. I have a Mercedes dealership that does a lot of business with me, and I believe strongly in doing business with people who do business with me. So I've got a little SLK, one of the cheapest Mercedes you can buy, but I drive it with pride because the guy spends tons of money with me. And I went in to get it serviced one day. And as I went in, there was a sign on the counter, and it said, "Want a free Snickers bar?" Now, I love Snickers bars. I'm crazy about Snickers bars. And it said, "All you have to do is fill out a little application and give us your email address so we can send you information about our service specials." So I filled it out to get the Snickers bar. And now all the time I'm getting these notices from the MB dealership about, well, there's this service opportunity or this opportunity or that opportunity because they have my internet address. I think the smartest thing every single one of our papers here in Missouri or adjoining states or across the nation can do is collect internet addresses. Every address you can of every single person that's in your region so that you can turn around and become the deliverer, not the go-to site. I will admit, even getting ready to come down to speak to this Missouri Press Convention, I went on your site, I went on a couple other state sites to find some things out that I could incorporate into the programs I was preparing for you. So once in a while, I'll go to that site if I need a specific bit of information. But what if the Missouri Press Association was emailing me once a day a good ad idea that I could use to make more money with my newspaper, or a good circulation idea I could use to get more people to subscribe to my newspaper, or a tidbit that I could drop into my paper this week that tells me about these things that are happening at the University of Missouri or at the State House or whatever, just a little small graphic thing that I could build out of the information you sent me. That would be more usable, and I'd be more likely to do it than if I had to go find it every single time. So just as we delivered the paper, threw the paper on the doorstep of the people who subscribe to it, I think if we can get to where we are delivering electronically different kinds of information. On Friday night, my new staff knows before anybody else the final scores on every single game that takes place in 5 counties. And so we currently on our site are updating constantly that score. That's all we tell them. They got to go to the paper on Saturday morning in order to get the background information on the play-by-play. But they want to know before they go to bed, did Sibley win or did Sibley lose? At least they can go find that information. But what if I email that to them? But every time I emailed it to them, it came with some kind of a encrypted ad from someone that was paying me money to put that ad on that email that was going out to that sports person. That's a selective, targeted audience. And I can suddenly sell that ad with greater confidence, and I can sell that ad for a greater amount of money. And I could do that on breaking news, whenever breaking news happened, maybe only once a week, maybe 3 times a week, if there's a major fire or a huge explosion or something. That's in that particular group that requests that from the emails that I've sent out saying, I will sell you this service or this service or this service.
I mean, I've always believed that newspapers, community newspapers, are the mass medium of their towns.
Exactly.
We have been all this time. And, you know, with radio fragmentation, there's so many different ways that information is disseminated, but the newspaper reaches more people in that community. So from what you're saying is newspapers, we have the tools, we just might need some rethinking of how to use those tools and collect email addresses. So
Well, so far, that's exactly right. And the fact of the matter is simply this. We are, as you point out, the only single source that reaches the entire community. Newspapers are subscribed to by a broad band of individuals. Every kind of radio station is after a different kind of select audience. And so no radio station reaches the community as a whole. We are the only survivors. The banks have all been bought out by outside sources. The elevators usually are merged now into 27 different elevator locations into one. School districts are merged into major combinations. The community only exists because the newspaper wants the community to exist. Many towns don't even have chambers of commerce anymore, but we're still there. So we are the center of community. Now, we have all this knowledge. The radio station guy walks into our newspaper office. He's the first one in the door every week at Sheldon to buy my newspaper. It's not because of the fact that he likes me. He wants to know what ads I got so he can go say, well, you bought the ad in the paper, you should have one on radio too. But I also can turn the radio on 10 minutes later, and there's my news on the air. So why don't I just sell it to him? Hey, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do live broadcasts of news from my offices for you X times a day, and only going to cost you this much money, but you'll have it before my paper comes out. But if I do it right, Doug, I'll also get him to come read my paper for the story behind the story. So it's not going to cost me. So I'm also disseminating news that way. And by having those blast emails and different subjects, that's one more way to do it. The other thing we're trying to do is our go-to sites are going to become very much specific and very much less general. When we were doing the program for IPA in New York a year ago, they asked me to come in to speak to a specific group of publishers. Got there, every publisher there was a publisher representative in the newsroom, a publisher representative in the advertising department. And they were the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Philadelphia Inquirer, not any paper smaller than that. And I walked in and the session was on the Internet. And I said, whoa, wait a second. Because they asked for a program that I'm doing here this weekend on advertising ideas for print. I said, what do you have a weekly publisher talking about print advertising to people at a Internet conference about? And they said, well, the reason we're doing that is we want them to know there's still a future in print. But as I listened to these people talk about the Internet, they all said, A, they're not making any money. B, giving away free has cut back the total amount of subscribers that they have, and three, that the best sites they have is a site for Mommy, San Diego Mommy, Washington Mommy, where mommies go and exchange ideas, and a site for cats and dogs. These are the two most profitable sites all these major papers run. And we're trying to put our newspaper online and make money with it when they can't. Up in Northwest Iowa, we're in the heart of Christian Reformed church movement. Only place stronger be like up in northern Michigan. We're going to put a site on that's going to be called What Would Jesus Do? Where you can go and say, did you see they opened up a movie theater in Orange City? My golly, what would Jesus think if you came and saw a movie theater in Orange City? And people can take both positions on it, but they can talk back and forth. People want to have a chance to relate on controversy, and so we'll give them that opportunity.
You do a lot of niche products, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
And could you give everybody an idea of what types of products you have?
Well, let me respond to that by talking about what is the hottest thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
The hottest thing right now is books. I have a theory that says a page is a page is a page. So if I go out and I sell a broadsheet page in one of my papers, I'm going to get probably $900 to $1,100 for that page. If instead I put out a specific product where I do it in tablet format, I'm going to still get $800 to $1,000 a page. If I put it out in a book format with a hardcover off our sheet-fed presses, I'm going to still get somewhere between $700 to $800 a page. However, the amount of newsprint I've used is now one-fourth is the broadsheet. In the minds of an advertiser, a page is a page is a page. So we do a thing called Herds and Plowshares. It's a broadsheet section. It comes out with the last week's issue of the review, and then we stuff it into all the rural copies of our Golden Shopper, our free circulation product, the following week. So you reach all the farmers either through the review, because everybody who gets the review gets a copy of Herds and Plowshares. But if you don't subscribe, you're still going to get one to your farm delivered with your shopper the following week. We put that out 11 months a year. And we're lucky if we do maybe 4,000, 5,000 with each one of those broadsheet sections. However, the last month of the year, in December, we turn it into a book. We charge the same amount of money for the ads as we do on the broadsheet, but now we put it out as an agricultural directory. And the stories talk about different information about choosing herbicides or what farm equipment is hot and new and that type of thing. And we go out and we sell it as a directory, kind of like a Yellow Pages, to everybody around our region and beyond. It does about $16,000, $17,000 rather than the traditional $4,000. And it's a book format. We do the same thing as a directory to contractors. One of the worst markets we have right now is the building market. Yet that contracting book sells phenomenally because it's a directory. And there's just all kinds of those kind of book approaches that we're finding are working for us. A to Z books go into a specific county, and we work with a lot of counties around us, as you know. But most of those counties have community directories. So I can't go in and do a directory because the local paper is doing a directory. But instead I go in and I do Sibley, A to Z. A stands for automobiles, and they've got 5 dealerships. That's unusual. B stands for Boy Scouts. They've got a great Boy Scout troop, whatever it might be. And then you put the ads around those, and some of them, if you're talking about the great theater, movie theater, that's where the theater ad's going to go. But other ads might fall there besides. But that's a great way to get additional revenue. It's one of the things we'll talk about at the session we're doing here this week.
I know you're very active in the National Newspaper Association. In fact, you're president of the foundation for the National Newspaper Association. What's new there?
Yeah. Well, the foundation and the Newspaper Association both have to reinvent themselves. We all know that. We have taken a licking because of the huge number of papers that have become corporate-owned. Corporate-owned papers are not necessarily as strong as supporters of associations as the independent owners have been. But I also think that unless there is a singular voice speaking out strongly for papers owned by families like the Millers, for example, or whoever it might be, we're not going to have an industry down the road, because I see so many of the large major metro papers. Detroit is down now to essentially 3 issues a week. Well, the population there has dropped from 1,800,000 to 900,000. The white population in Detroit has exited at a number of 90%. There's only 10% of the white population they used to have. That whole demographic has changed, so the newspaper's struggling to change. But people look at that Detroit story and they say, well, all newspapers are going to pieces. It's not happening. We're still fairly successful in Northwest Iowa. We work harder for the same amount of money, or a little bit more. But we also believe in our role. And our role, and this is what people have to remember, we print newspapers because we're writing the first draft to history. We print newspapers because we're trying to bring our community together on consensus for things that need to be done to make the community better. We're doing newspapers because it's a chance for us to tell the good stories about people and what they're doing that is worthwhile and important. And if we don't do those things, then we shouldn't have been in the business in the first place. If we're in it simply for the dollars, then we miss the whole point.
Can you give us one, as we close this, can you give us one good revenue-producing idea for a newspaper out there?
Best revenue-producing idea right now is to go out and do a session on communities. We do in broadsheet, and what we do, the surrounding towns, one at a time, and we pick up all the things that tell about what makes that community unique and special, makes them remember what they are and who they are. If you are in a town where you don't have surrounding communities in your circulation area, do the southeast corner one time, the northeast corner another, and every single one of those, by splitting out, doing whatever, 2 or 3 weeks, you can do them in a way that that you can spread your expensive revenue gathering and news gathering across a great distance of time, but you can do huge dollars with it.
Very good. Peter, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate you being here at the Missouri Press Association Convention. And
always a pleasure.
You're a great
to be
guy.
Here.
Thank you.
It's a great association you've got. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks to Peter Wagner, Iowa community newspaper publisher and popular newspaper trainer, for his insights into the exciting future for community newspapers. You can learn more about Peter at www.iowainformation.com. This is just one of many podcasts now available from the Missouri Press Foundation. These programs are offered to give you the flexibility to learn about a variety of topics at your convenience. Our archive of podcasts is expanding, so visit the podcast page at www.mopress.com to find other topics important to Missouri newspapers. Thanks for listening.